Hello, it's Tuesday, January the 26th, and I trust that you are well, and reach out to us if you have any needs. We're in Psalm 119, almost at the end in this acrostic psalm, and today we're in the S sound. If you look closely at your Bible, depends on which version you're reading, but if you're in the ESV, this has two letters, at least it looks as if it has two letters, Sin and Shin. It's the whole issue of Sibboleth and Shibboleth, which you remember is important in the Davidic period and an incident in the Old Testament. And of course, in our own English language, we differentiate between S and Sh, so S and SH, in other words. Now, it's actually the same letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and before the Babylonian captivity, when the Jews could read Hebrew better than they did after the Babylonian captivity, there were no vowels, which after 40 years of reading Hebrew, I still don't understand how you can read it without the vowels. And so after the Babylonian period, and I'm hoping that my intern here behind the camera will nod in agreement that I've got this right. But I think somewhere after the Babylonian captivity, when they introduced vowel points, the Masoretes, the so-called Masoretic text, introduced vowel points, the S sound in Hebrew looks like a W for walk, weather, that W, with three spikes. And if you put the spike on the left one, it's an S. And if you put the spike on the right one, it's an ush sound. But actually, it's the same letter. So this is the Sin and Shin section of Psalm 119, 161 through 168. And the thing that stands out immediately in the very first verse, 161, is the word heart. Princes persecute me. He's always in trouble. Princes persecute me without cause. Right? To be persecuted is one thing. To be persecuted without cause is another. And it's the issue of the book of Job, of course. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart, not his head, not his mind, but his heart. In this sense, I think the spring of all his affections, the innermost core of his being. But my heart stands in awe of your word. I tell folk they should only use the word awesome for God or the things of God. You know, if you use the word awesome for Ben and Jerry's ice cream, what have you got left to use for God, that we are in awe of him? It's that creator-creature distinction. He is holy. He is upright. He is righteous. He is altogether different from us. He's in a category all by himself. And when the psalmist contemplates God, he is in total and complete awe. Now, in verse 164, he says, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. I wonder if he's being literal. I don't think so. Seven in the Hebrew mindset was a number of perfections, 7 days of creation, 7 days of a week. And maybe what he's saying is not something literal, but something of the perfection of praise. He's all in. He's not half in. He's not three quarters in. He is all in praising God. And then in verse 163, 165, 167, he uses the word love. I love your law. Verse 165, those who love your law. Verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. And, you know, he repeats himself in these sections over and over. It's a thesaurus of words and expressions of his relationship to God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, God's law. He loves God's law. And I think that's the lesson of Psalm 119 over and over and over. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And I wonder today if that's true of us. Well, that's the lesson for today. Have a wonderful day.